We're talking about thinking differently about society. It's said that the only constant is change, and I'd argue that's never been more so than throughout the past quarter century. When I started my career in Melbourne in 1991 at the Herald Sun newspaper as a junior copy person, one of my chief roles was to ferry film canisters from the field during AFL matches at the MCG back to Flinders Street for processing. Aren't I a dinosaur? I thought it was funny actually when Audette mentioned the Walkman and everyone in the room went, "What?" When I became a cadet journalist a year later, we researched in a library, consulting books and a clippings file. In the business section of the newspaper where I worked, we employed three people whose sole job was to cut articles out of all types of newspapers all day and stick them into files variously titled BHP, Westpac, Corruption, ATO. That was the sort of thing we used for research. They were the days before the internet, of course, and consider that just 14 years ago, there was no Skype, no Facebook, YouTube, Snapchat, Twitter or Instagram. Now each one of them is chasing the same revenue from banks, insurance companies, retailers, etc., that used to have little choice but to pay newspaper companies and television networks to run their ads. Now with a minimal spend, they can access global audiences. So how do we need to think differently in a world that's changing so fast? Finally, two Western nations are discussing the value of diversity and inclusion, and that's another defining measure of our ever-changing society. In this session, I'm going to invite our speakers up to each give a 10-minute address, and then they'll all come back on stage and we'll engage in a bit of a chit-chat with them. So our first speaker is Julia Lessing. She's the director of Guardian Actuarial, an actuarial consulting firm that provides specialist analysis to support and inform planning and delivery of human services. Julia is a qualified actuary with more than a decade of consulting experience. After starting her actuarial career consulting to life insurance and wealth management clients, she's extended her actuarial consulting skills to focus on human and social services clients such as state government agencies responsible for helping our community's most vulnerable people. Please welcome Julia Lessing.
Hi, everyone. Imagine your six-year-old son, Michael, comes home from school excited about his new friend, Jack, who started in his class today. Jack also loves cricket, and Michael wants to know if Jack can invite Michael over to play cricket in the backyard this weekend. You get to know Jack's family and you find out that Jack's mum is really young. She was 15 when Jack was born. Jack has two small brothers, and at the ripe old age of 21, Jack's mum has three small boys. She's very young, but she loves her kids and she's a good mum, and both her mum and Jack's dad are involved on a daily basis. However, over the next few years, things change at home for Jack. Jack's dad, who was 17 when Jack was born, loses his job after a round of cutbacks at work. Without any qualifications, he finds it very hard to get another job. The family budget was already very tight, but now Jack and his family are really struggling to make ends meet. Jack's dad starts going out drinking with his old schoolmates to cope with the stress. Jack's dad is violent when he's drinking, and he often comes home and takes out his anger on Jack's mum. Jack's grandma recently passed away, and aside from being awash with grief, Jack's mum is really struggling without the regular support her mum used to provide. She becomes depressed and has trouble caring for her three boys. She can't afford to see the doctor, but she feels sure that when Jack's dad gets a new job, everything will be okay. Jack's teacher notices that Jack is having trouble concentrating in class and often comes to school without lunch. Concerned neighbours have called the police on several occasions after hearing loud arguments between Jack's parents. Jack and Michael are still very close, and Jack spends a lot of time at your home. He tells you that he thinks they're moving house, but he's not sure where. When you drop him home, his mum tells you that they've been evicted because they're so overdue on the rent. Clearly, this family is in crisis. Things haven't always been bad, but a few setbacks like the loss of a job and a key support person at home have tipped this family from frugally surviving into crisis. But who is best placed to help this family? Sadly, there are many stories like Jack's, many families in similarly complex situations. This morning I'm going to encourage you to think differently about the role of actuaries in helping families like Jack's. To start with, I'd like you to think about what role, if any, you could play to help in this situation. Now, I'm not here to recruit you as foster carers and social workers, although I know there's a few of you in the room. Instead, I want us to just think about what it is that actuaries can do. I'm going to talk to you about three things. I'm going to give you some insight into society's most serious or wicked problems. I'm going to talk a little bit about the role of the actuary in helping to solve some of these issues. And I want to share two obstacles that I've seen in my experience for actuaries wanting to work in these areas. We all face uncertainty. However, there's some issues that are affecting our society in ways that are harder to solve than others. And these are known as wicked problems. Now, wicked problems are hard to define, even harder to solve, and are often underpinned by a number of interconnected risk factors. You've heard the stats on some of these risk factors. For example, statistically speaking, you or the person next to you will experience a mental health condition in your lifetime. On any given night, one in 200 Aussies are homeless, and a quarter of those are children. Rates of reported child abuse are increasing over time. These are all issues that affect Jack and his family. Mental health, homelessness, child abuse are in fact complex and interconnected. It's hard to solve these in isolation, but it's also hard to know which one comes first, which makes them wicked in their nature. The New South Wales government has acknowledged this interconnectedness, and they've developed this outcomes framework based on research and evidence. But if all of these issues are interconnected, who is best placed to help? Which profession is going to help Jack's family? Well, the answer is not easy, but we're going to need a range of professionals to work together in multidisciplinary teams to tackle these issues. We need researchers to gather the best evidence, policymakers to turn that research into policy, and effectively skilled and adequately resourced practitioners who can apply that up-to-date policy in the field. And actuaries, statisticians and modellers and economists who can undertake the modelling required to support and inform the planning and service delivery required to support families like Jack's. Recently, my team and I were involved in a project where we applied this outcomes framework. Representatives from child protection, education, police and health were working together on joint initiatives to tackle wicked problems for local families. We worked in a multidisciplinary team where we helped to identify some appropriate indicators and counting rules to be able to track whether or not those joint initiatives were delivering improvements as expected. So our society has a number of wicked problems requiring multidisciplinary teams to address these issues. But how can actuaries help? Well, let's think for a minute what it is that actuaries actually do. Actuaries are trained to give advice about what to do today based on our professional view of future conditions. That advice might be what price to put on an insurance contract or what contribution rate is required to ensure a certain level of financial security upon retirement. But the approaches that we use to provide this kind of advice can be transferred into human services. Let's think about what the possible future conditions for Jack and his family might be. At the moment, Jack and his brothers are at home. They might not be safe at home. What if it was determined that those boys need to be placed in foster care? That would trigger a government event, a bunch of services being put in place and some associated cost. But what if we can help Jack's dad find a new job and we can help Jack's mum with her mental health and put some more supports in place at home? It might be that Jack and his brothers are actually able to be restored home safely with mum and dad. But what if down the track Jack's dad loses his job and this pattern continues? As you can see, there's multiple pathways that children can take through the child protection system, multiple ways that those future conditions could play out. and who's best placed to help model that work. This is another example of some work we've been involved in. A state government agency needed to be able to reliably estimate the number of children in various states of the Child Protection Service, requiring different types of child protection services into the future to support their budget estimates. Now, the modelling, the skills and capacity to undertake this kind of modelling are not always available in-house in government departments. And even if they are, oversight agencies will often look for independent teams to come in and provide some review and validation over these models before they can be used, as they did in this case, and we did that work. So not only are actuaries well placed to help, many of us want to. On average, I'm contacted by about one young actuary or actuarial student each week who's interested in finding out how they can apply their actuarial skills to human services. Further, many of us are already working in this space. I'm working too far away from here, obviously. As government is increasingly looking for independent teams who can manage data sets, deliver insights, and help them with their decision making. You might not be personally interested in applying your skills in human services and focusing your career there, but you might be interested in a not-for-profit board opportunity or maybe some pro bono work as part of your actuarial career portfolio. So actuaries can and want to help improve our society's wicked problems. So we've talked about how there's these wicked problems needing multidisciplinary teams to help, and that actuaries can and want to be part of those multidisciplinary teams. But I want to highlight two obstacles that I see for actuaries wanting to work in this space. Skill set and brand. So skill set. As most of us as actuaries did not undertake subjects like sociology and politics as part of our university education, and our Part 3 actuarial exams, as gruelling as they were, alone may not be enough for us to be effective in human services. This might mean that we need to undertake further education or get some paid or voluntary work experience so that we can learn the language of human services. For example, I trained and served as a Lifeline telephone crisis counsellor for several years. And not only did this experience allow me to give back to my community, it gave me some frontline exposure and insight into some of these wicked problems and how they play out. But it also helped me to learn the language of human services, which has helped me in my career. The second obstacle, brand, refers to our collective professional brand as well as the way we put ourselves out as individual actuaries. The actuarial professional brand is very strong within insurance circles. But in human services, many people have never met an actuary before, let alone know what an actuary can do. I spoke earlier about the need for us to work in multidisciplinary teams to tackle some of society's wicked problems. And so as actuaries, it's really critical, if we're to be effective in this space, that we build good relationships with other professionals and help them to understand what it is that we can do. When we're talking to these other professionals, it's not always helpful to lead with, "Hi, I'm an actuary," and expect them to know what we're talking about or what we can do. Instead, talk to them about what it is that we do and how we can add value. "Hi, I'm an actuary, and I'm good with big data sets and delivering insights." "Hi, I'm an actuary, and I'm trained to give quality advice about what we should do today based on our mathematical analysis of what might happen in the future." Maybe you can refine that somewhat. It's important to remember that we don't automatically have a seat at the table as actuaries when we're tackling society's most wicked problems. In our concurrent session tomorrow, we'll share with you the findings from our recent client survey where we asked non-actuaries about their perceptions and experiences of working with actuaries. Interestingly, nearly two-thirds of our survey respondents had never met an actuary before they worked with our team, yet they could all see the value that actuaries bring, and they all agreed they'd be prepared to work with actuaries again in the future. Phew. So I see two main obstacles, skill set and brand, that we need to overcome as a profession and as individuals for us to be effective in human services. So to recap, our society has some wicked problems requiring multidisciplinary teams to help. Actuaries can and want to be part of the solution, to improving those issues, but I see two main obstacles, skill set and brand, that we all need to overcome as individuals and as a profession to be effective in human services. So back to Jack and his family. I hope this short presentation has given you some insight into how, as actuaries, we can play a role to help families like Jack's. By thinking differently about what actuaries can do, we have an opportunity to make a difference to our society both now and in the future. Whether you're already working in human services or you aspire to, or whether you're generally just supportive of the profession working in wider fields, I'd like to leave you with a challenge today. How can you use your actuarial skills to help support families like Jack's? Thank you.